Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her UnitedHealthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and UnitedHealthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. We are up Kingwood Way. BB's Tex Orleans, come on through, man. We're giving away some gift cards, Academy Sports and Outdoors, a free oil change at Tomball Ford, Texans tickets, the Drive collector glasses that we've been giving away all football Friday season, BB's t-shirts, dollar wings, boneless or bone-in, and got a special for all the teachers out there, free apps for teachers from 3 to 6 p.m. So come on through and hang out. And whether you're a teacher or not, we welcome all teachers, of course, but whether you're a teacher or not, come on through and hang out. Again, B. Scott is in for Ron Hughley. T. Mills back at the studio behind the glass on the ones and twos, baby. And look, the Texans got a monster game this weekend, or actually Monday night. So we will get to have another show. We'll have a Monday show to get you ready for the late Monday window game there. So we will actually have a full show on Monday. Mondays typically, even on off days, we usually have a shorter show, and then if there is a Monday night game that starts at 6, usually, man, we got about a 1 hour show and we're out of there with a 9 p.m. kick. We're going to have our entire show, and the plan is Ron will be back, and so we'll have another episode of The Drive before this game actually kicks, but that just means we got an extra day to talk about it, and chop it up.
And that's leading into the pregame show, by the way, right?
Yep.
So, like you get a full drive.
That's right.
And you get a full pregame show leading up to the game. All of that on Sports Radio 610.
That's right. And look, it's not been a secret. It's not been a secret that the toughest matchup in this game, Texans Seattle Seahawks Monday night, is absolutely their defensive line, who we just heard from Titus Howard. They like to run all the different stunts and everything up front, and we as fans, we have obviously suffered through some games where we couldn't pick up those basic stunts, and they've been big problems. So not only are they really good, but they're really good at the thing that we have seen our Texans offensive lines struggle with over the last couple of years. And so the challenge is not just mano-a-mano. The challenge is also schematically, and the Texans – O-line versus the Seattle D-line, I think, is where this game starts. Now, there's some other – I think some – there's layers to this, but I think that is the biggest matchup, that if the Texans win, you got a real chance to get away Monday night, to get on that plane and come back home to Houston after a win. And here's the question I got for you, B. Scott.
Yeah.
Who's the real pressure on to get that accomplished? Now, it's obviously a group effort, right? It's the O-line. It's the quarterback. It's the run game. It's the tight ends helping. It's Nick Caley, the play caller. But I think for me personally, I've seen some things that I believe in, and I think that there is still some feet to fire, some pressure on one or more of these parties. But for in your opinion, in terms of battling this defense, knowing that we've struggled with what they do really good, who's the pressure on for you this weekend?
Yeah, so I'm not going to cop out. I'm not going to cop out of this. I'm going to actually answer your question, but I do want to point out before I do that the real answer is all of them. And this is why I say that. specifically because you can't really afford, given how talented this Seattle defense, especially up front as we're talking about, you can't afford, the Texans cannot afford to have a bad game from any of them, right? We're talking about from C.J. Stroud, from Nick Caley to C.J. Stroud to this offensive line.
Yep.
There is not a single entity within that list that can afford to have a big that can afford to have a bad game. Just to be clear about it, okay? So that's not me copping out. That's just me saying the facts there.
That's why I asked the question, because it's not an easy. There's not one easy, obvious answer.
Yeah, so I want to be clear and preface with that. But that being said, for me, given that it's still all of them, it has to come down to the offensive line. It has to come down, because this comes down to a mano-a-mano type of situation, whether we're talking about just the stunts or just one-on-one blocks. We're talking about a serious, I would say, from end to end and in terms of their depth, as Titus Howard was laying out when we talked to him earlier, a serious formidable front. And one thing, and I know you can appreciate this, Clint, as a former player, the one thing about football, we can do all this talking. We can do all of the analyzing. They can do all of the schemes. You can get up on the whiteboard and you can draw up all of the plays. But football come down to a mano-a-mano sport, man to man. Eventually, like once you get to it, whether it's Friday night in high school or Saturday in college or Sunday and Monday in the pros, eventually you got to show me, right? And so that's what it's going to come down to. To me, the biggest pressure is on the offensive line. I think that Nick Caley has done some truly good things over the last couple of weeks that make you feel good about where he is and his development as a first-year offensive coordinator. Obviously, C.J. Stroud, when everything else is right, is excellent, right? When the play calling is right, when the offensive line is protecting. I don't feel like you probably have the fewest questions out of all of these in C.J. Stroud. The one unit that I feel like we got the most questions about that could do to themselves, I say, the biggest favor in terms of their overall conversation and how we view them is absolutely this offensive line and how they block this up front. So to not cop out and give you a straight answer, I'm going to go with the offensive line.
Look, I don't think it's a cop out. I think the reason I asked the question is because there, to some degree, every one of these answers could be right, depending on how you feel about it. And so
you just can't afford for none of them to be bad.
That's right. The toughest matchup for the Texans Monday night is the Seattle Seahawks defensive line and the games that they play versus our offensive line, the Texans offensive line. B. Scott says the most pressure is on the O-line, right? I'm going to go with Nick Caley,
okay.
And here's why. Like, by the way, Nick Caley in full, met with the press today, in full at 3:40. We're going to play him right here on the drive at 3:40. I should probably check and make sure we don't have anything else in the gun there. Tyler's already got it handled up, baby. It's good job. What team is a pro?
I
tell you what. I got to go with Nick Caley, though, and here's why. Here's why I picked Nick Caley, because I agree with you. The answer, there's no wrong answers here. But what I've seen from the Texans' offensive line, and that extends to the running backs and the tight ends, I think for the first time, hell, maybe since I've been covering a team, but for the first time definitely in the D'Amico Ryans era, I feel like what I've watched from an offensive line perspective over the last 2 weeks, I believe it plays versus any opponent. Now, it may not be as effective as it was against Baltimore. It may not be effective as it was against Tennessee. But I believe, which Titus confirmed, I believe that if they spend more time on their double teams and don't rush to the second level, that they're going to get pushed. I believe that. And I believe Woody Marks is a back that can make one guy miss, and I believe Nick Chubb's a guy that can lean forward. If you're getting pushed, it's just a huge advantage. What I've seen, I just believe to some degree that we're going to see that again on Monday night. I don't believe they're going to revert back to their old ways, right? C.J. Stroud, what we've seen, I think, if C.J. Stroud goes back to holding the football, one of two things has happened, right? One, we don't have the weapons to make a team pay that is suffocating us,
yeah,
right?
That's real.
Or two, C.J. Stroud mentally don't have it, right? That's the two things. I mean, because if he goes back for no other reason other than he just wants to throw the ball down the field, given what we've watched and given this opponent, if he goes back to holding the football, patting the ball because he wants to take shots, then shame on him.
Yeah.
Right?
And everything we've heard from him is to the contrary, right? Like he's gotten comfortable with this new world order, if you
will. And let me be clear. The reason I didn't pick C.J. Stroud here is because I'm telling you how crazy it would be if he reverted back to some of the, let's say, year two Bobby Slowick stuff where they're this explosive team that's trying to stretch the field. Like, that would be crazy for a quarterback. I mean, it would be almost, at this point for him, being a contract year, it'd cost him huge money.
Yeah.
Right? So I think C.J. Stroud, I think what we've seen from C.J. Stroud – to some degree, we're going to see a very strong emphasis on playing the quarterback position that way. As I mentioned, the O-line, the double team, the change we've seen, that includes Dalton Schultz, by the way, I think we're going to see more of that to some degree. It's the Nick Caley factor here, right? It's the Nick Caley factor here on several fronts. But do we really think we're going to roll eight different dudes out there and have catches against a really good defense?
I doubt it.
Okay, do we really think that we can just camp Nico Collins over here and not move him around and not give him that jet sweep like we did last week, not hit him in a screen game, not use him in the mid-range game, not take shots down the field with him? Do we really see Nick Caley as a guy that can't do with Nico Collins what really any offensive coordinator with this particular set of wide receivers and weapons should use him? Nick Caley's the wild card here, and I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying, to me, I've seen enough proof of the other two. I think they're going to be all right. Nick Caley's the one that the jury's still out for me.
Well, and here's another one that I would give you, and I think this could be a Nick Caley point or an offensive line point, but what do the Texans do against a rush defense that is second in the league, right? Like, how does Nick Caley scheme up a run game? And to your point, like, you feel like they're going to be able to get pushed. Okay, well, that's on the offensive line. Like, I feel like there is pressure to do that against a defensive line that has shown they have a resistance to that, right? They're second best in the league against the run. And what does Nick Caley do if there is no run game? Like, can he scheme up one? And then what does it look like absent of a run game? Because that's one thing that we've been able to see from the Texans in their success the last couple of games is the fact that they have been able to run the ball.
Yeah.
What happens if they make them one-dimensional? I've got faith in C.J. Stroud and being able to find some answers. And I would say that Nick Caley and the offensive line are the ones that are right there at the top in terms of questions about can they block it up front and give them any kind of resemblance of a run game? And then what does Nick Caley do if that run game is not there?
Well, I think this is a monster game for the others, right? I mean, Nick Caley is the tip of the spear, but for the others, not named Nico Collins. Christian Kirk, where you at? Right? I mean,
It feels like it's about that time.
Christian Kirk, where you at? He's the one that's got expectations that we've yet to see any level of explosive, twitch, game-changing, playmaking from in the first five games. Christian Kirk, where you at? For me, that's number one. Number two is Xavier Hutchinson. We talked about him yesterday. Who is Xavier Hutchinson? Is he a guy that's just going to be a third or fourth receiver and be handy when somebody gets hurt? Or is he actually a guy that in a quiet, almost unexpected way make plays for your quarterback in critical situations, right? Who is Xavier Hutchinson? I think there's some serious pressure on those two guys, Christian Kirk and Xavier Hutchinson, to become something.
So to that point, I talked to Christian Kirk in the locker room about, let's call it 2 weeks ago now, and I asked him the question. You know, he's kind of getting his feet wet. You know, he played a couple of games at that point, and I said, hey, what is the thing? We obviously know, you know, your profile. We've watched you play. But what is the thing that you're trying to bring to this offense as you get comfortable? And the first thing that he said, the first thing out of his mouth was explosive plays. Not a reliable target on third down, not a safety valve or anything like that. It was explosive plays. Okay, so to your question, Clint, where is that at? It is time to that is front of mind for Christian Kirk himself, and it's front of mind for us as we watch the game.
Well, the interesting thing is, here's the deal. If you're not going to move Nico Collins almost to a fault, like move him too much kind of deal, if you're not going to do that, then Christian Kirk has to be a guy that in Nick Caley's offense that is really, I mean, they say it's the Texans offense, but there are some strong New England ties there.
Right.
Like, I mean, the one thing you could always bank on in New England was a smaller sized, whether it's a possession guy or a speed guy, either way, being a big part of the offense.
Yeah.
So you there's an argument to be made that, hey, Christian Kirk has the resume, Nick Caley has the experience, it's part of the offense,
right?
The other times that we've seen it, like, where is Christian Kirk at? I think it's a big deal. Another question yesterday, a texter put in, big shout out to everybody on the text line. Actually, I think it was the YouTube and Twitch chat that brought it up. Where in the hell is Braxton Berrios?
Man. Milk carton.
Where in the hell? And I'm going to be honest with you. Tell me I'm crazy. If so, I'm not even worried about Braxton Berrios as a returner. You know, there was a time when we brought Braxton Berrios in, you go, hey, man, This is a return specialist, and rightfully so. But Jalen Noel is – I am A-OK. In fact, I wouldn't mess with – I'd let him return. I'd let him become my long-term punt returner here. But I think Braxton Berrios is a guy that brings a little something to the table with experience, reliable target, sees the defense through the quarterback lens. I mean, he's a guy that his skill set is real twitchy and quick to create that separation for the quarterback. We saw it in the preseason. What the hell's going on with Braxton Berrios?
And literally the exact thing that you were talking about in terms of that smaller guy that's normally a part of a New England type of office, normally a part of the identity. Braxton Berrios seems like he would fit right along those lines, and we have not seen him. Like, I thought that the whole return thing, because he's an accomplished return specialist, right?
Right.
So I thought that was just his way to get on the roster, but that we would see him be a part of the offense in these roles that we're talking about, and we just have not seen it yet. It is one of several mysteries, I would say, that are a part of this team right now.
Yeah, man, we gotta get that one.
They could use him. They could absolutely, because we are still waiting on that guy to emerge, whether it's Christian Kirk, whether it's the rookie Jalen Noel being a little bit more a part of the offense, being featured more, or if it's Braxton Berrios himself, who, again, we have not seen. We're waiting on that guy to emerge.
Well, you talking about I can't get my mind off that. I know it was preseason, but the little boot where he snuck out the back door and went for a touchdown.
Yeah,
that kind of, all joking aside, a guy that's that size, that when you break the huddle or you get to the line of scrimmage, I mean, you lose him behind the offensive line. I mean, you can do some creative, tricky things with him that you can't do with Higgins or any of these other big guys that you have. And
I'm glad you mentioned that, Clint, because it's not like that was just a one-off. You're talking about a preseason example, but we were at training camp. We saw pieces of that in training camp practices where they were actually kind of making that, I wouldn't say an emphasis, but certainly featured in their offense. Like, we saw plenty of Braxton Berrios making plays, training camp, and then you mentioned that preseason play. So it is a curious thing.
Yeah, it's wild. All right, we got Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, coming up. Monster matchup Monday night. Can he get it done? We obviously want to hear directly from him. At 3:40, we will have Nick Caley. And I want to remind everybody, if you're in the building, put your name in this raffle box right here. We're going to give away all kind of stuff, man. We got everything from Texans tickets down to T-shirts and $25 gift cards, and we got all kind of stuff that we're going to give away, man. We're going to start that here in this upcoming break. So if you're out there, you're listening, get in the building, get you some grub, get you some drinks, enjoy your Friday, and you might win something here. If you're in another part of the city, I know you can hear us far and wide. There's BB's Tex Orleans locations all over the place. Stop through any location. One thing that's pretty consistent is them food and them drinks and them good people. So go on through there and hang out, but if not, come see us for sure. All right, we got to take a little dip into the college football game coming up this, I guess it's tomorrow. Boy, it's crazy how quick. We have football damn near every night. We're in that stretch of the season where we have football every single night. So, but Saturday's a big one. Saturday is a big game. You got some ranked matchups in the SEC that are big. And we got to talk a little bit about them. We'll do that next right here on
Coming at you live from Auto Trader. Here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Sports Radio 16.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T-Mills on the ones and twos. And my boy Matt's over here making sure we're taken care of at BB's Tex Orleans in Kingwood. Come on through and hang out. This place starting to fill up, y'all. Place starting to fill up. And I've already lied to everybody. I lied, didn't I? I was supposed to give away something right there in that
room. Oh, man, we sure was supposed to give something away.
Damn it.
I lied.
We might have to double barrel one of these breaks.
That's all right. We'll double up right here. We'll double up, but I got to go first, B. Scott.
Okay.
I got to go first.
Do it.
You didn't pick that up, but you got it. BB's Tex Orleans, come on up. We got four Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. We got a free oil change for Tomball Ford. We got Texas tickets. We got collector glasses. We got BB's T-shirts, chicken wings, cold beer, and football. Hell, who wouldn't wear it? And it's a soft shirt, too, now. They didn't skimp on the expense of the shirt. It's a good one now. Where's mine? There it is, right there. All right, we also got dollar wings and boneless or bone-in right now at BB's Tex Orleans. So come on through, take advantage of that little deal there. And all the teachers out there, we love you, baby. Free apps for teachers from 3 to 6 p.m. So come on in and join us. If you can't get to this location, there are other locations. Just pick that old phone up and hit that old Google Maps. They'll pop up all over the place. BB's Tex Orleans, baby. We have Nick Cayley, Texans offensive coordinator. We have him coming up in the next segment. That'll be the 340 segment. But right now, Tyler, give me my damn music.
That turn you on like it does for Ron?
Well, I mean, it doesn't take much, but Ron, I would say, is it a little easier for me? I would say Ron is a little easier. Yeah, it would. It's rolling though. We got a great slate of games for this Saturday, and look, I'll be honest with you. There's a couple of them tonight now.
Yeah,
there's a couple of them tonight worth watching. Louisville at 4-1 at Miami, number 2 in the country. They're 5-0 right now. A lot of people believe that they are one of the more likely teams to make the college football playoffs simply because they have already nailed the tough part of their schedule. But the Miami Hurricanes are sitting at number 2. Louisville goes to them at 4-1 tonight at 6 o'clock. Also tonight, 7 o'clock, Nebraska, number 25, Nebraska is sitting at 5-1 right now, 2-1 in the Big Ten. They are at Minnesota, 4-2 Minnesota, 2-1. In the Big Ten. So we've got some really good football matchups tonight. Now, both teams aren't ranked the way that the SEC has got this thing rolling tonight or tomorrow. I got to toot the horn of the old SEC. Everybody likes to pile on and think that's not the best conference in America.
Oh, but you SEC guys got to put on. Look here. Here we go.
I don't know what they say, but you got three games in the SEC alone this week that all six teams are ranked.
Facts don't care about your feelings, man.
I mean, I'm just telling you, man. I don't believe it's happened many times in college football in a conference.
SEC guys,
yeah, man. It's happened before, though. It's happened.
I got the Aggie over here at the studio. I got the Razorback to my left.
Oh, and by the way, it doesn't include Oklahoma or Texas, the two newbies in the conference. So look, I'm just here to tell you, man. I mean, it's when it happens, it happens. You just got to kind of roll with it.
Sure.
But we got some monster games, as I mentioned. Saturday's highlighted by the SEC matchups. All joking aside, Ole Miss number 5 at Georgia number 9. Tennessee 11 at Bama number 6. LSU 10 at Vandy 17. And look, the way we typically do this is we each pick a game instead of going down a slate of 25 games. That's right. Instead of going down a slate of 25 games, which isn't always radio friendly, we're just going to pick one. B. Scott, I'm going to let you go first, man. You don't have to pick anything off just the SEC games. I don't want to pigeonhole
The SEC games. It's funny because you might call me a hypocrite here for giving Clint a hard time about the SEC, given the fact that I am going to pick an SEC matchup as my game to talk about the game that I'm looking at. It's definitely Tennessee going on the road to Alabama. Now, both of these offenses have been incredible this year. Lights out to watch so far this year. But it'll be interesting to watch how both Tennessee and Alabama attack things without, or at least with their starting running backs, either banged up, injured, or not available. I'm not sure if these guys are going to actually play, but both their starting running backs, I know Jam Miller was injured in Alabama's last game, and of course Tennessee's lead running back is also banged up as well. So the quarterbacks in these offenses might have to do a little bit more. That being said, this Ty Simpson cat he is playing incredible football. I mean, he's been in the Heisman conversation for a couple of weeks now, and I felt like last week he did even more to further that conversation or his place in the conversation. Some of the balls that he threw, man, he had one or a couple like on fourth down, one to one of their freshmen. It seems like they've always got a freshman that can ball, freshman wide receiver that can ball now, the Alabama Crimson Tide. But watching Ty Simpson out there doing his thing as one of the Heisman front runners, and then these two offenses being as prolific as they are, trying to figure things out with banged up running backs, will be the marquee matchup for me this weekend.
I love it, man. I love the can they feel the shoes aspect of this game you're talking about, right? When you look at Alabama, can Kalen DeBoer really feel the shoes of Nick Saban? Or let's just call it follow Nick Saban. You're not going to feel the shoes. Just follow Nick Saban. That has been an interesting ride for a year and a handful of games right now. And then when you look at Tennessee, I am a Liava. How you like that right there?
There you go. On the first try.
I was nervous for 5 minutes before I did that right there. I'm not sure it's right.
Clint stuck that landing, baby.
I'm not sure it's right, but you know what I'm talking about. The quarterback.
You said it with your chest, though.
The quarterback that left Tennessee and went to UCLA, kind of leaving Tennessee out to dry. Joey Aguilar transfers in late. And he is absolute nails. 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, almost 1,700 yards on the ground. He will absolutely get you – I'm sorry, through the air. He'll absolutely get you on the ground as well. He's got over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns this year. So the replacements right there of some really good – a really good player, really good quarterback, or the all-time greatest college football coach. I love that aspect of it. T-Meal.
I would add, they're averaging 48 points a game.
Come on, man.
48 points a game.
Come on. And you mentioned Ty Simpson.
I will be watching this game.
Ty Simpson's coming. T-Meal, you got one for me.
Come on, T-Meal. I know it's got to be your Aggies and the Razorbacks or something.
He's nervous.
Come on, T-Meal. Don't leave the people hanging out here at BB's. They want to hear your take, man.
I knew he was quiet for a reason.
Well, boys. For what feels like the 20th time, but I guess I've only really known old Clint Sterner for 4 or 5 years. We're going to have some Aggies whooping some hog ass tomorrow.
Easy.
In Fayetteville. They're done
this
with
guy.
That Jerry World stuff. The game of the week, at least on this program right here, 2 to 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 610, it's got to be Clint's Hogs getting their ass whooped by my Aggies. No, it won't be no game. There will not be a game.
Golly, we can't even just say a win. He's going to say ass whoop.
It'll be a crime scene.
It's got to be in T-Mill fashion, man. It wouldn't be T-Mill if he didn't talk a little bleep.
I mean.
I'm not going to pull a Titus Howard on this.
These are Aggies. This is a Texas A&M squad that has dominated Arkansas since entering the SEC. I think it's 12 of the last 13 years.
You've won a lot of games. I don't know if you've dominated.
You're trying to rub it in your face, Dick. I wouldn't take that.
It's pretty Such pure domination.
You know what? You're a dirtbag.
7.5-point favorites for the Aggies. I think they cover that by a lot. Aggies in Fayetteville. They're done with the Jerry World stuff. Not going to Dallas. Arkansas got a home game where their fans will be able to watch the maroon and white whoop that ass. That's your game of the week, boys.
Oh, man. It could be a good look. It's got the makings of being a tight game. It's got the makings of an upset. You've got a team that's got national championship, college football playoff aspirations in Texas A&M, and I think they're real this year. I really do. But you got an Arkansas team that's fired their head coach, but they've got an explosive play caller. They got an explosive quarterback that can do it on schedule or off schedule. This is another one of those games where, yes, A&M should win, but Arkansas is dangerous.
Yeah. I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
Yeah, I mean, hey, look, you win this game right here, you can ride whatever the hell you want, Bobby, and you can take a volleyball player, a basketball player, you can ride whatever you want, Chief. Hell, we'll even keep you around for the foreseeable future if you win this one right here. This would be a good way to get that Arkansas job full-time instead of just being that interim right there.
Hey,
the low-hanging fruit, Tyler could have just said, hey, man, the overbet in this game right here is the lock. Instead, he said, we're just going to kick their ass.
Because, I mean, it's got to be. It's got to be Tyler to say that. I will say, though, I think I agree with him.
I think I agree with him on this one.
Look, and it's really more so, more than anything, with A&M right now, it's the defense that's impressing me. Like, they've really stepped up in the way. So I think this is going to be an interesting chess match between Bobby Petrino versus this A&M defense that has been incredible on third down, been incredible overall. I think it's a really good matchup. I don't know about an ass whooping like how Tyler's talking about, but I do have A&M winning this game.
You can be a dirtbag too, B. Scott. I'm going with Ole Miss number 5 at Georgia number 9. I've never been a big Kirby Smart guy. He's a great coach, obviously. I'm sure he's a great guy. I just don't like his get down. I don't want to hang out and drink cold beer with him. I'll put it to you that way. I like this quarterback at Ole Miss, man. Trinidad Chambliss. We talked about it yesterday. I mean, one, he's electric with his feet and his arm. The story of going from Division II, being up a candidate for the Harlan Hill Award, as well as winning a national championship at that level, jumping up here, you got a highly rated quarterback that's starting above you, gets hurt, boom, you jump in and you take the bull by the horns, and he's got this thing rolling at 6-0. They go to Georgia, and I've got Ole Miss beating Georgia.
Hey, look, I'm right there with you on the distaste for Kirby Smart. It's just something about it. I would concur with all the points that you've made about Ole Miss and that quarterback. They've been impressive.
All right, monster game for the Texans this week, and nobody in the building over there is this game bigger for than offensive coordinator Nick Caley. He's been really good for two straight games. Can they take it on the road? Can they take it on the road versus a better opponent and look anything like they've looked as they've skull-drugged the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens? He met with the media today. We have his full presser right here on Sports Radio 610.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDRO. ROW.com. Code FIT.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in.
the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Next.
Hogs are winners.
Whoop, whoop.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from BB's, Tex Orleans, and Kingwood, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. B. Scott is in. It's Brandon Scott. By the way, I call him B. Skeezy, so I apologize for those that ain't picking up what I'm putting down. But Brandon Scott is in. That's T-Mill back there with them cat calls in the studio. Come on down to BB's Tex Orleans up in Kingwood. We just gave away two $25 Academy gift cards, Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards, that is. We got a free oil change from Tom Ball Ford coming up. We got the Drive Collector glasses over here as well. Need to pick one of those up. We got Texans tickets courtesy of our Houston area Ford dealers as well. And we're going to start giving away some of these nice, soft, bright red BB's T-shirts as well. So come on through and hang out with us. For now, look, when D'Amico speaks, when Nick Cayley speaks, when CJ Stroud speaks, we got to bring the presser to you in full. We'll break it down all throughout the Monday and the rest of today. We'll take the bits and pieces that we think that really pop. But I think it is important. I think the fan base, the listeners out there, I think all y'all really want to hear more from these guys. And so I believe in playing this audio in full. So here we got Nick Cayley, Texans offensive coordinator, as he met with the press today.
When you go into a bye week, what is your goal to accomplish?
Yeah, first of all, to assess what's happened up to that point. So fundamentally, schematically, obviously assessing where a roster is, that's the goal. And then the goal, big picture-wise, is to put things together and be able to clean things up, learn from any mistakes or issues that we had in the past, and then be able to, chart the course forward. So that's what we're trying to do, and, it's typically what we do on a bye week.
I think the last 5 quarters of offensive football, what do you feel like are some things that you guys are doing a lot better?
Yeah.
What do you think you can do to expand on that?
Yeah, I think we've executed better. We've gone forward more consistently. We haven't beat ourselves nearly as much. We played with better fundamentals. So I think we've given ourselves a chance to, play on time, to be efficient and to operate the game plan, the way that we, genuinely intended to do so.
I mean, it's been 2 weeks. It'll be 2 weeks in a day since the last time you guys have played.
Yep.
Is there any feeling of wanting to get things started quickly, knowing that it's been such a long period between?
Sure. I mean, yeah, sure. So, we had practice, obviously. You had one practice over the bye week. We end up coming back. We get together this week. Yeah, you want to get things back to normalcy, and you want to get going. We want to start every game fast, so you want to start practice fast. You want to be efficient. You want to have positive plays, and I don't think that changes. Coming off a bye week, obviously, I think we're all anxious and ready to go out there and actually play some football again. So, it's been a good week so far, and we just got to keep it going.
CJ's mentioned, as you guys have gotten into the season,
yep.
Hey, we do this really well. Let's do this more. Hey, maybe this isn't working. What kind of goes into that conversation between you and the players? And then ultimately, is it up to you to say, hey, we'll just leave this in this part of the playbook. Sure. We'll focus on this.
Yeah, I think, you assess after every game going into it. You got your plan, and then sometimes things get off the beaten path a little bit. You try to stay on course by playing clean football. But like anything else, what we try to do is when you assess what's worked and what hasn't worked maybe as well as you'd like to, you try to find out the why to that, and you dig. And then ultimately, it's up to our staff and ultimately myself to be able to, through discussions, obviously with D'Amico too, but being able to go through and see where we can go moving forward and do the things that, we do well and expand those things. And, I think it's a learning process like anything else. But again, the most important thing I think that's helped us over the last couple games for sure is that we've played cleaner. We've stayed on time, on time and on schedule. And I think you give yourself a chance to truly execute, execute and utilize your game plan.
Kind of to both of those points, when you do have an early bye week, and it was as bad as it was early, and then you did see some success, do you just hammer home what you did well, or do you make more wholesale changes than you normally would?
No, I think I don't think we changed the whole process a whole lot. I think each week's its own deal. I think that, you look through the first couple games, you look through the last couple games, and, I think the biggest thing is just trying to figure out the why if things don't go well, and then why did things happen, positively for you, and you go from there. I don't think you overlook it any other way than that. that and try to, you know, have a clean slate and open mind to those things and just be honest with yourselves. And I think, you know, we're continuing to build our team. We're continuing to learn who we are through the first month and change of the season. And I think that's just the course. We got to play good football. We got to take care of the football. We got to play on time. And we got to just keep continuing to get better and improving as we get going each week and each day. And that's what we're trying to do, is just focus on that and be process oriented from that standpoint.
You are listening to Texans offensive coordinator Nick Cayley on a Football Friday with The Drive.
Picture look at kind of the way Stroud's playing.
Hey, he has seen the field well. Like, he sees the game the right way. He's into it. I think he just being able to establish a rhythm, being able to play good and play, you know, not be in long yardage situations like we were, you know, obviously early in the season, more than we ever wanted to be. So his approach and process really hasn't changed drastically. He's been consistent and steady. I think we just collectively have to play, you know, consistent football, and that's the best thing we can do to help ourselves and is getting off on the right start, you know, to your question earlier. But yeah, but he's been consistent and steady as a person.
One hat all season? I mean, is it
super season? No. I probably need to throw this. I got two hats, actually. They look the same. But no, I get a little bit of superstition when it comes to the stuff that I wear, just a little bit. My wife would say the same thing.
Coach, throughout training camp and preseason, a lot of the players say that the one thing that they loved about your system was you used their skill set to not only to your advantage but to the team's advantage in order for them to be successful on the field. But you can only see so much in training camp and much in preseason.
Right.
Throughout these first, you know, 5 weeks that you all have been on the field, what have you noticed more? Because even Xavier Hutchinson, you know, said that the play that you call for him to get his first, you know, career touchdown was something that you implemented.
Yeah, I think, you know, you assess everything starting in spring, okay? I think we find out, you know, just by being together and having time on task a little bit more about each other. And I think the whole purpose and the goal, it is players over plays. I mean, we all generally run similar plays. There's different structures and different systems and stuff like that, for sure. But I think, you know, it's what do guys do well? And that changes, again, from week to week and year to year, team to team. But you always want to try to allow those guys to be put in a position to utilize their skill set. And we'll always do that. I mean, and I said this before, and I'm not trying to, you know, go back to it, but like when I was a defensive backs coach, it was the same exact deal. It didn't change what side of the ball you're on. You're trying to find out the strengths of the guys that you have. You're trying to put them in position to best have success, to help our team have success. And I think just the more time you have on task, the more opportunities you have to see what maybe little wrinkles guys can do, or what compliments, you know, maybe a receiver can do off of certain routes that he's already been pretty good at that, you know, can be change ups, or certain run schemes that maybe a back might have a good feel for, or, you know, and some guys develop into having a better feel for certain things. So I think it's just time on task and being able to have more exposure to those guys, and it's been healthy for us. We just got to keep it moving in that direction.
You've faced Seattle the last couple of years,
yep,
with the Rams in the overtime game last year. What are the challenges maybe that their defense presents, as well as just the atmosphere as a whole?
Yeah, well, they're extremely well coached. Mike does a great job. I think they have a really, really, really good defensive grouping in terms of, you know, at every level, really disruptive. They play with great energy. They're really talented outfit. And then you talk about the environment. I mean, it's a great environment for football. It's loud. It's a raucous environment. They get into it. So, you know, for a Monday night game, especially a primetime game, if you love football, I mean, it's going to be an outstanding atmosphere to go play a football game in. It's a great place, and it's a loud environment, and it's a talented team that's very well coached. I've got a lot of respect for them.
How do you simulate that anyway? A couple of players in the locker room yesterday were saying we're trying to simulate.
Yeah.
How do you get them prepared for that?
You are clean with communication. I got to get the play calls in. We got to get back to the huddle. We got to communicate. We got to break the huddle. We got to play. We got to be efficient with what we're doing. Stay on track in terms of execution, and, you know, crank as much noise as you possibly can where it's deafening, okay, where you got to be able to, you know, treat it as game-like as possible. And you go there, but starting fast, doing a good job communicating, and starting to execute so we can get on track. Those are the biggest things.
When it comes to your running backs, is it a game plan situation to decide who gets what opportunities in certain plays? Is it changing in the course of the game? How do you go about figuring out which running back fits better?
Yeah, I think it, generally speaking, I mean, we've got a lot of confidence in all the guys in there, and we'll roll them in there, and DB does a great job with those guys. There might be some specific things, you know, especially early on that we might, you know, whether it's trying to make sure we're not getting too lopsided with volume of reps and stuff like that. So you try to balance those things off. That could be a series-by-series deal. It could be a quarter deal. And then, you know, there are some guys that might have a better feel as you get going with certain things. But generally speaking, you know, we have faith in really the guys we have in the room to be able to roll in there and, you know, on really all three downs, to be honest with you. So you've seen that. They've all played in those situations, especially, you know, Nick and Woody, too, those two. But, you know, generally speaking, it's you know, we have a lot of faith in both those guys. You know, not obviously Dare's played, you know, as well, too, there and in British in his own role as well.
Go ahead. It seems like they're going to get back some of their secondary for this matchup. Just kind of what are the challenges that guys like Reek Woolen and Devin Witherspoon present?
Yeah, they're good players. Good movement skills, good length. They play the ball very well. They're aggressive. They played a lot of football. They've been disruptive in terms of, you know, whether it's PBUs, interceptions, etc. You know, obviously Spoon's got good flexibility. He's a really good player. They both are. So they're a talented secondary. They're talented on all three levels, really. And so got to play at our best and be at our best when that's required.
Nick, if you may ask this, sorry, but do you have like a personal story of your interactions with like Xavier Hutchinson, or do you recall the first time you knew like he could possibly be involved in the offense at a higher level than before?
Yeah, I mean, so we had training camp here. We had joint practices when I was in Los Angeles a year ago. So we got an opportunity to come down here and practice against him. So I was a graduate assistant at Iowa State. This is not really a connection with him, but I was a GA at Iowa State 2009, 10, and 11. So I have an affinity, or I've tracked those guys over the years. So I was aware of him, obviously, as a player through the pre-draft process. And then the first phone call, you know, I ever made to him after I got hired here, he had such great energy about him. You know, he's got such a great energy about him. And then you see him out here working. He's a tireless worker, and I have an appreciation for that just day in and day out. He hasn't changed, and I appreciate that, and I know we appreciate that. So do I have a specific story? No, but I mean, you know, he's a Cyclone. I have a master's degree from Iowa State, so I was aware of him when I first came here, but the guy works his ass off, and you know, really happy for him. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. I really do.
We talk about the communication between you and CJ and some of the other offensive players, but what has that communication been like between you and Cole Popovich? It seems like the offensive line has started to play better over these last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been great. Cole and I shared a cubicle right across from each other back in New England back in the day. I have a lot of respect for him. Not only is he's a friend, but I mean, he's an excellent football coach, and he's a tough coach. That's how he coaches. That's how he drills. He's highly intelligent. And we have dialogue, I mean, throughout every single day. Really blessed to have an opportunity to be here with him and get to reunite with him, and got a lot of respect. And those guys are continuing to just continue to get better. And they are a tough team, a tough outfit up front. So thank you guys. Have a great day.
That's Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley leading up to the big Monday night matchup with the Seattle Seahawks. I don't know about you, B. Scott, but I've got bye week fatigue, man.
Yeah,
I've got bye week fatigue. If I was these guys, I'd be somewhat frustrated with having every question is what can you accomplish in the bye week? Hey man, look, they self evaluate. They have one little old practice where they can go back and look and try to do whatever they want to do moving forward. They can work on that a little bit, and they take some time off and they start preparing for Seattle. I personally have the bye week fatigue, man.
Glenn, I was ready to play yesterday.
Yeah,
I was ready to go yesterday, so you can imagine how I feel today, how I'm going to feel on Monday. Let's get this thing going. Let's get Monday night here already.
Right, man. Right. That is Brandon Scott. He's in for Ron, the show, Ugly. We are at BB's Tex Orleans up in Kingwood. Come on through and hang out with us. We've got plenty left to give away, including Texans tickets. So come on up, put your name in the hopper, and have you a drink, grab you some grub. And enjoy a good little solid little Friday afternoon, a little football Friday here. All right, how much of the good that we saw from the Texans the previous two games, how much of that carries over? I'm going to remind you of what all the good was. Not just they accomplished this and scored that many points. There was a lot of good in the last 2 weeks. How much of it carries over? That right there is next.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.